This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, hour number three, we have Jason Rantz from Seattle. He's a talk show host in his own right, joining us at the bottom of the hour to highlight some nuttiness out there. We have a lot of kookiness in the Pacific Northwest. Sean Spicer is going to jump on here in a second. We're going to talk about Doge and a lot of other things. But let me kind of preview that just a little bit here with a little background on some things that have happened today. Last night on CNN and then on the X, formerly Twitter, we did have a situation where we aired quite a bit, and we had some sound bites of Elon Musk in the Oval Office with President Trump on Doge, because you have hyperventilating out there from the legacy media on money actually being cut. So I actually retweeted, so I was going to kind of share a story here. I retweeted something from the CBS Evening News where they had a story that came out, it was from last night, that said Trump has paralyzed agency that safeguards workers' rights, labor experts and advocates say. And whenever I do that, I have to play this, right? Oh, yeah. It's terrible what he's doing. So my response was, as I just accidentally closed my X window here, which was dumb, my response was to actually ask this person, or to ask the Twitterverse, on that CBS story, hang on, because I'm paging down to it here again, is I said, look, what's the chance that the legacy media will actually ask questions related to, you know, the actual waste in the fraud that's going on? Because, in other words, and I'm having problems pulling this up, in other words, there's all these complaints on the part of CNN and Dana Bash and Caitlin Collins, all these things. They're very, very worried about what's happening with the takeover, or whatever they want to refer to it as. And the bottom line is that they're just kind of rooting out a bunch of nonsense. So I tweet about this, and then somebody says, well, you can't, how can you provide some waste, fraud, and abuse? There, I think I found it here. So my question was, and I apologize for hopping around, that's what happens when you close your window. Do you think there will ever be a moment when CBS News, when at CBS News and others, will start investigating waste and abuse instead of people uncovering it all? And then on my tweet, I said, well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course, the answer is no. And somebody on Twitter responded, you really need to get your head out of your ass on this one. There is no, quote, audit going on. Just Musk and the teen boys and other hired henchmen pointing to spending they don't like and calling it fraud. And then I was asked this question. Can you point to any fraud? I can, but let's kind of approach that from a different perspective. I didn't say anything about fraud in my tweet. We could talk about fraud if you want to talk about fraud. I said waste and abuse. There's a lot of waste and abuse. I think that's what's been highlighted right now. So can I point to any fraud? Let's see if I can do that. Because all I had to do is Google fraud in U.S. government. And here's a big page from the IRS. You don't have to believe me. It's not from CBS News. It's not from Fox News. It's not from ABC. It's not from any of those. It's not from the National Review or some other conservative publication or outlet like Hot Air. No, this is from the IRS. The IRS criminal investigation team released updated COVID fraud statistics on the fourth anniversary of the CARES Act. That was March 28th of last year. Let's fast forward to March 28th of this year. You know how much they investigated as of last year? In fraud from just the CARES Act. This isn't fraud in the Department of Defense. It's not Medicare fraud. It's not Medicaid fraud. This is just the CARES Act. We all predicted that this would be fraud. Cut checks to the entire country, right? $9 billion. $9 billion. So when the question was asked of me, can you point to any fraud? I responded, sure can. Shut the F up. And I released that. The best response, and this is how these people are broken. You have friends like this. They don't know what to do right now. They're lost. They got their asses kicked and handed to them in this election. They don't understand how people can't be offended by everything that this guy does. And also that he's doing exactly what he promised. So this person on Twitter said that's from March 28th of 2024. I don't care when it's from. The fraud existed. It didn't go away. It's grown since last March. That's the best you can do. And I pointed out, look, we're going after waste first. There's literally billions and billions of waste. So my advice is you better settle in and get used to it. Because this person referred to the teenagers. The teenagers are blowing this S up right now. And it's glorious. They are draining the swamp. And it's not going to stop. And Elon did a great job. A great job in the White House explaining all this. And he even said, we played the soundbite. Look, they're not going to be perfect, right? Meantime, and I'll bring Sean into the conversation here in just a second, you have Democrat lawmakers that are out there with the federal employees unions screaming about all this because it's Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and they like to use a little profanity here with Trump.
I'm from Jersey, so I look a little differently. I say, f*** Trump!
I don't swear in public very well, but we have to f*** Trump!
What they meant to say? F*** Donald Trump and Elon Musk!
Those are Democratic lawmakers screaming that out. They are completely broken right now. Sean Spicer is back with us to highlight some of the nuttiness. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing great. There's snow is coming down in the greater D.C. area. And it's the only time that legitimately Elon's probably comfortable with federal employees going home. And I still don't think that he's comfortable. Change is upon us, Mark. And it's just every day brings a new reason why I'm so excited that this administration is back.
I guess I'm not surprised by, you know, the reaction on the media's part in particular. But, man, they are hyperventilating. They don't know what's happened to them. I heard Mark Halperin yesterday talking about how, you know, this is really dizzying out there because so much is happening. But is it just me, Sean Spicer? Rhetorical question. Or are the teams on CNN and MSNBC only focusing on who is uncovering the waste, not the actual waste itself? They just want to focus on Musk and Trump, really Musk right now, you know, call him President Musk. They don't want to focus on the actual things being uncovered, do they?
No. Not only that, Mark, but you're asking all the right questions. Like, here's my question that no one will still ask. Who put this in there in the first place? It is literally criminal. The idea that I understand foreign policy and the need for the U.S. to show strength and soft power abroad in certain places. But you tell me, does $100,000 dance, a DEI trans carnival in Ireland make us somehow stronger or deter China in Dublin or Shannon, Ireland? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And yet no one is asking those questions. Where is it? Who put this in there? How long has it been there? The idea, or my better yet, is all the libs like Andrea Mitchell and Kristen Welker, who go, well, it's not that much.
Yes.
You know, everyone at CNN, it's only a few million. It's only a few hundred thousand, a few million, 50 million. You know, it's never enough. That's not worth real discussion.
That's the best they have. That you kind of beat me to the punch because I was going to tell you that. I was going to scold you, Sean. I mean, come on. It's not that much. And I'd like to say to the IRS what I pay in federal taxes every year. You know what? In the whole scheme of things, it's not that much. You're not going to miss it, right?
Yeah, you try that. Tell me how that works for you.
Like, I just,
you know what I love is I've been in and out of campaigns and government for 30 years. There's always an excuse. We can't do it this way. It's not enough. And finally, somebody is saying enough is enough. We're going to respect the tax dollars that get sent. Look, I get it. Taxes are part of life, unfortunately, but we live in a democracy where we need, you know, a national defense and a government that does certain things. But I don't want it wasted. It's disrespectful. And we keep getting told by both parties for decades, there's nothing we can do about it. We'll have a commission.
Yeah.
It's always an excuse. And now we're getting it done and pulling it out by the root. And you know, the funny thing is, for all these Democrats, Mark, and the members of the media who said, well, we should be a little bit more surgical. I go, you know what? You had your chance for years, for decades. You could have said, hey, we'll look for waste. We want to root it out. We want to stay focused. But I actually think it's worse than that. I think that this is where Democrats and folks on the left have been using these institutions as ways to pay off their allies, to prop up their policies. This wasn't, like, it didn't get inserted some random way. They knew what they were doing, and they got caught. And the reason that they don't want Elon Musk to have access to these records is because they finally realized that somebody's going to expose it. That's it. Full stop.
Oh, I agree completely. And, you know, you talk about, let me go back to your point about commissions and blue ribbon panels and all this other nonsense, because look, I was extremely interested and I liked Alan Simpson. They did Simpson-Bowles Commission. I remember talking to Senator Simpson in the aftermath of some of this about the recommendations. That's fine. They never take place. So I'm done with it too. I'm sick of it. I've heard of this 45 years. You know, Ronald Reagan, I started with that. Reduce the size of
Grace
government.
Commission. Remember the Grace Commission?
Yes, that was another one.
Yeah. It's always, again, is why we can't do it. And I feel like every time, you know what it is? Maybe it's just because I was stuck in a doctor's office for, you know, way too long today. But I feel like every time I go in and they say, Sean, you got to lose a little bit more weight. And I go, well, I'm getting a little older. And, you know, the ice cream. It's like, I know how to make excuses with the best of them. And Mark, it's like, that's the government equivalent of it. It's always a reason why it can't be done.
Well, let's talk about immigration a little bit, because obviously there's a lot being done on that right now. But you also wrote a piece for Newsweek. I mean, obviously, some of this stuff is a little cosmetic and just fixing what's happened in the last 4 years. But your point is, you know, it's got to go beyond the executive orders. And now they have the numbers to maybe do something.
Exactly. And here's my point on this. Immigration is the perfect example. What can be done through executive order can be undone by executive order. And so all the great things that President Trump is doing, let's face it, he's got, you know, just shy of 4 years. Hopefully J.D. Vance or somebody continues this for 8 more. But we can't risk undoing it. We have a Republican House. We have a Republican Senate. So let's use this opportunity on several fronts. But I think immigration is one of them, where we've talked a lot over the years about codifying some of these changes that we've talked about, getting new Border Patrol in, unleashing their ability to do stuff, reexamining how we bring people into this country, whether it's merit-based or, you know, how educate. I mean, like, there's a lot of factors, but let's do it while we know that we can control both houses and the presidency. Because mark my word, I believe, I've said this many times, I think the Democrats had a larger political plan in place. They wanted to use open borders to bring in new voters. If we don't use this opportunity now, in the next 2 years, to codify some of the changes that we want in immigration, it will be our fault. So Congress needs to step up. I know there's a reconciliation bill. We can do this. But the reality is that things like immigration and a couple other things, I have a newsletter coming out today. It's free. SeanSpicer.com. I launched it. Right. I talk about the things that we need to get done. So I mentioned it in the Newsweek column, but I'm beating the drum, which is, guys, we have we have a Republican Congress for 4 years. Hopefully Donald Trump, you know, can use that and keep going. But I want to sort of, I feel like, you know, one of those self-help gurus that says, first thing you should do is the hardest things. Get up in the morning, accomplish it. And immigration is one of those things that we have talked about for a long time. Trump has led the way on it. Let's lock in the wins and codify the law with the policies that will ensure that the Dems can't just undo it if they ever take back the White House.
Yeah, I'm encouraged just because they're off to a good start here, and there seems to be focus on a lot of this, and time is of the essence. I think we all know that. What is your thought? Sean Spicer's back with us here this afternoon. Are you buying beachfront in Gaza at this point? Your thoughts on that plan from Trump? You know, the one thing I said is, you know, what resonated with me a week ago, and I think what resonated with the American people, is saying nothing else has worked. So I don't know what this plan is all about specifically and if it's going to work, but I do know he's right. Nothing else has worked.
Well, that's it. You're exactly right. I think we're thinking alike on this, which is, for 50, same thing with DOGE, right? For 50 years, we've been told two-state solution. That's the only way it'll work. Trump realizes, all right, maybe some out of the box thinking on this. But here's what happened. I mean, look at what Jordan and Egypt and all these places where he said we could resettle some of these folks. They came today and said, okay, how about this? We'll start with 2,000. Okay, that's not solving the problem. But at least he's forcing these guys to the table and saying, if you don't think of a creative idea, I will. And you may not like it. So come to the table. Just even if it's a negotiating tactic, it's brilliant. It's thinking outside the box,
yes.
Approaching things that we've been told. But this gets back to over and over again. We can't do it. It's never done that way. It's always done this way. This is how it always works. Let's bring some new out-of-the-box thinking in for the first time in a long time.
Hey, I'm just on your Twitter page right now, and I have to, because Will Scharf, you know, he's a Missouri guy, and we see Will up there with all the executive orders.
He retweeted me last night.
I know, so explain this. You say in the fall of 1991, you wrote a paper on why you hated your internship, and you got an A.
Right. Well, so a buddy of mine who was a year ahead of me said, I was going to D.C. to do an internship and take some classes. He said, I know this great place. You should try it. I know you love politics. You'll love it. I went to this federal agency that trains federal executives how to testify in front of Congress, and I hated it. And I wrote a paper about why I hated my internship. But the broader point of the paper was that sometimes it's not just what you like to do, it's what you don't like to do that helped guide your decision making, right? So to me, it was, oh, my God, I never want to work in an office like this. I think that this government agency set up is like somewhat akin to a prison sentence. And so I wrote this paper. I got an A in it. And last night when Will Scharf, you know, is doing those things, he hands me, he says, let's eliminate this agency. And it was the agency that I hated during my internship.
And what is it? Which agency?
Well, it's now called the Federal Executive Institute. And what it does is it trains federal executives. So like it's like a college course, except it's permanent. So if you're going to go testify in front of Congress, it says, okay, come to our class. And it's a bunch of bureaucrats to teach other bureaucrats how to interact with Congress. It's probably not this gets back to it's not the biggest piece of the pie.
Yeah, but still. That's fascinating.
It's several people, and I was like, I guarantee you, nobody knew that that thing existed, and I was laughing when Will Scharf did that. So I tagged him in the thing. He obviously retweeted it, but it was just so funny because it's what, 32, 33 years ago.
That's hilarious. That is good. You know, by the way, if Saturday Night Live, I don't think they've done this shit. If they don't have a Will Scharf character on SNL and, you know, Trump signing with the market, they're not funny anymore, but I do think it would be hilarious.
No,
and we love Will, the job that he's doing
right
now.
There's some funny social media memes where it's like, Mr. President, I'm presenting. There's one that I saw yesterday that says, this executive order gets rid of those ducks that people who drive Jeeps put in their windshield, as we know. Will does the plays the part beautifully.
Oh, it's awesome. Then one final question for the guy that used to be in that room with the media. How about Carolyn Leavitt and a young woman doing an extremely hard job exceptionally well right now?
A plus. You know, she handles it with grace and a sense of wit. And it's just she has a command of the issues. If she was on Dancing with the Stars, I'd give her a 10.
There you go. Spicer, always great to hook up with you. Hope your year is going well.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much. See you, Sean.
All right. Yeah, take care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jason Rance from Seattle is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. I just wanted to mention that tomorrow we'll not be here. We'll have Brad Young filling in. I'm going to be in Columbia doing some work in Jeff City and at the Journalism School of the University of Missouri. I'm going to meet with Governor Kehoe in the morning and also Andrew Bailey. I had a couple other meetings set, Sue, but they tomorrow is Lincoln's birthday. You know, President's Day is on
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. But they have Lincoln's birthday, I guess, as a state holiday. I'm told that my friends in the legislature will be there, and they will, maybe open their doors to a little bit of a meeting tomorrow. But I haven't popped around on the state capitol grounds for a long, long time, and it's good to kind of meet and greet. I might try to see Steve Butts and our friends in the Senate,
nice.
Like Nick Schroer and Mary Elizabeth Coleman. Jason Rance is here, though. He's a talk show host in Seattle. Something really kind of caught my attention from an event that went on in Seattle where something went viral from a politician out there, which is very interesting. Jason's going to explain it all to us this afternoon. Jason Rance, how are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So I just read a story that's in the Washington State Standard where he claims that that soundbite was taken out of context. Now, I read the entire answer that he gave that wasn't edited. It didn't change the context at all, Jason.
Yeah, because it wasn't taken out of context.
Right, exactly. I mean,
what he said is 100% correct, right? I mean, in the state of Washington, that is the reality, which is why him trying to walk it back, because everyone else around the country points to this and says, well, that's insane. Yeah, it is insane. That's why we'd like to change it. But Jamie Peterson is not going to change it, nor any Democrat is looking to change that. In the state of Washington, when you are 13, you pretty much have carte blanche to do almost anything. And it's a shame. And I'm glad that the country is now starting to pay attention.
So what is this all kind of framed around? Because this has to do with a parental bill of rights. And you and I may have even talked about this, that the legislature approved last year. How is this all kind of popping up again?
Yeah, so let me give the context. Last year, there were a number of initiatives that were voter-led that pretty much undid all of the legislative accomplishments from the Democrats. Among them was a parent's bill of rights. And at that point, in the state of Washington, when you submit enough signatures, the legislature has two options. Number one, adopt the language in the initiative as is and just make it a law, or put it on the ballot for people to decide. They chose on 3 of the initiatives to just accept them because they were so popular that by putting them on the ballot, they thought they were going to hurt Democrat chances down ballot. So they said, awesome, we're in, we're going to accept this bill from the Parents' Bill of Rights, which essentially codified some things that were already kosher here, already rights for parents, but it made it explicit. And then it changed things so that within, you know, the moment where some crime, God forbid, were to occur against a child, a school has to immediately contact a parent, that they would have to also be upfront with records that they are taking for kids on their, you know, potential medical issues, that if they're going to refer them to medical resources, that has to be disclosed to the parents. So everyone was celebrating. There was an ACLU case against the parents' Bill of Rights. A judge tossed that out, and it was going to go into effect. And that's when Democrats decided this session, whoa, 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 hold on. We're actually going to change the Bill of Rights, pretending that all they're doing is making some minor changes and cleanups. They're completely gutting it so that now you do not have to immediately, as a school, tell a parent whether or not their kid was subject to a crime on campus. They can wait up to 48 hours, and they would not be allowed to provide any information about medical services that are offered or resources that are offered to the kids. They're not going to have to tell the parents at all, and that's where the anger is.
So where does that anger kind of take you? Because obviously, and you know this, Jason, you get called into service on shows like mine. You're on Fox all the time trying to, you know, somehow explain the craziness that comes up there in your part of the country.
Yeah, look, I mean, the parents here who are upset about this, I'm glad that they are. They actually have to just do something about it politically. They still, despite the fact that there were so many people who supported the parents' Bill of Rights because it made total sense, they end up still putting into office the same people who are the ones right now trying to completely gut it. Every single Democrat is on board gutting the Parental Bill of Rights. And that means voters who are upset, they actually have to vote these people out. If they don't, we're just going to have this happen over and over and over again. The reality is, unfortunately, voters have very short-term memories.
Right.
And when we have the next election, I don't know if they're going to remember that this happened. So that's always the rub, the way that this works. We have a part-time legislature, so they're not in session when we have elections. And they, Democrats who are in power, they benefit from that.
You know, and you're in a, I think you know this, you're in a completely, you're like in the opposite situation that I am here in Missouri with a, you know, a super majority of Republicans. And it's just, when we look at this from afar, it's just insane. I know that a lot of people have taken, you know, and gotten attention or focused attention on this. Ted Cruz was texting about it and other folks. It just seems like, especially given where the country is right now, and we can talk about some of the broader themes happening in Washington right now, talk about tone deafness, but I guess in Washington State, they feel like they can do that and they still have the support.
Yeah, and I don't blame them for holding that position because the voters have indicated that is the truth.
Yeah.
That no matter how far to the left they go, at least at the state level, they seem to be given another thumbs up when the time comes. Now, that hasn't always been the case, certainly not recently on the local level, including in Seattle, where there was a little bit of a course correction a couple of election cycles ago where the council started to get a little bit more moderate. And by moderate in these contexts, I mean just not crazy socialist.
Right.
They're still liberal. You still have progressives on the council, but you don't have the socialist arm that's all that strong. You've got one socialist currently on the Seattle City Council, or, you know, kind of crazy in that world. And that's almost as good as you're going to get in Seattle. And at the state level, the best that I can hope for as a conservative is a moderate Democrat. That's the best. And right now, we don't have any moderates in power at the state level.
Seattle talk show host Jason Rantz is with us this afternoon. What would you say just about everything going on in Washington right now? And it is overwhelming. And I, you know, I started the show this afternoon talking about Elon Musk's new Twitter ID, which I thought was extremely entertaining, and he's trolling the left in Hall of Fame epic portions right now. But you got the team on CNN going on there talking about constitutional crisis, Jason, because they've gotten the memo on that. The panic that is existing, the hysteria in left-wing media and in the progressive circles is quite something right now. I can barely contain myself, and we're only on week three.
I find it really amusing because for all the left-wing media claims that there's chaos in D.C., it doesn't seem chaotic at all from the Trump administration. They actually seem to be having all their ducks in order, and they're doing things methodically, I think thoughtfully. You can disagree with maybe some of the moves, I suppose, but it's not chaotic at all. And the only chaos I see, it's coming from the left, right? I mean, if you're going to do these silly stunts every single day and claim that we're days away from losing democracy, again, people start to wonder if you took your meds this morning. Clearly, the messaging has not worked. I know they're trying to now flip it into just going after Elon Musk. I haven't seen too much data points yet. We have the one CBS poll from over the weekend that shows that there's overwhelming support still for at least the concept that Elon Musk is trying to put together. But, you know, do I think they're going to be able to attack Elon specifically and have it stick? I question whether or not that is going to happen, but they certainly act as if their focus groups have given them a clear direction on what to say and who to attack.
Well, keep in mind, you know, it wouldn't shock me if the polling turns around a little just because the narrative is so controlled. I think it's somewhat fascinating that the polling is holding where it is when they're on there every night screaming, you know, constitutional crisis, threat to democracy. You got Jim Acosta out there, which is, this is my favorite because they shelf him at CNN, and he's out there tweeting things about, you know, and I think he was on with James Carville doing his new podcast, and Carville's saying that the Trump White House is nuttier than you even think. This is the guy that refused to be honest for his entire CNN tenure. Certainly the last 4 years, not talking about the cover-ups going on in this White House with Joe Biden's health. At the very minimum, that was a story. And now he's trying to lecture people out here about what we should be focusing in on. It's really unbelievable. And the good news is for guys like you and I, Jason, I think the American people are, they're onto this, man. They're totally onto it, and they're not going to get away with it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's what it appears to be. I don't underestimate the power still of even unpopular media when they're all basically saying the same thing. Propaganda can be really, really effective. And that's a little bit of a concern. I'm just glad now they don't have social media that's burying stories and videos and links the way that they used to. That's a key part of the strategy to ensure that, you know, Donald Trump maintains and even grows the support that he currently has, is being able to actually get the information out there, not have it be, you know, behind the gatekeepers of MSNBC and other left-wing media outlets.
You know, look, in a fair media world, you'd have some people out there at CNN or wherever looking at the possible issues relating to who's affected by cutbacks, et cetera. That's a legitimate news story. The problem is that the MSNBCs and the CNNs, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do, they're not addressing any, this is stunning to me, they're not talking at all about the waste, the potential fraud, the abuse, none of that. It's only about the people uncovering the waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, I'd have a little bit more respect if they were hyperventilating the way they are, if they would at least cover the other side of the story, but there's no effort to that. And I've been listening, by the way, in the last 2 weeks, Jason. I've monitored and watched CNN a lot more than I had been because I wanted to see what they were doing, and they're not covering that aspect.
They really aren't, and it's just really, again, it's kind of fascinating to see all the spin coming from folks as they're attacking Elon Musk. And dare I say, what's the difference, and I wish someone would ask any of these media outlets or any of the Democrats screaming about Elon, what's the difference between Elon Musk and what he's doing and Joe? Joe is just the random bureaucrat, the dude who's doing a lot of what was being done that's either the opposite, I guess, of Elon Musk or exactly the same. There are a whole bunch of bureaucrats that none of us know exist.
Yep.
We've never heard of them. We don't know what they're doing. They're not open about it. The only difference seems to be that Elon Musk is being put in a position where he's allowed to be open about what he's doing. And I'd rather that than some unnamed bureaucrat getting to the point where we're now spending, you know, millions of dollars wasting it on LGBTQ2IAS++, you know, operas in Somalia. I don't need any of that kind of spending. And someone was behind greenlighting that, and we have no idea who that was. I'm totally okay with knowing who's the one who's gutting all of it from the books.
And majority of the American people are there as well. Jason, awesome. You're always great. Thank you so much. Hang in there out there on the left coast. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Take it easy.
So for those of you who might have missed the soundbite at play, it really is quite stunning. Jamie Peterson's
kids over 13 have the complete right to make their own decisions about their mental health care. Parents don't have a right to have notice. They don't have a right to have consent about that.
So he claims he was taken out of context, but I looked into that. And as Jay said, he was not taken out of context. And that thing garnered a lot of responses on Twitter. Again, there's a pretty big difference in the priorities between the Pacific Northwest, certainly in this part of the country. Audio cut of the day is coming up next. I just completed the list of the music on the show today. We call them the bumper songs, and I put a list up every night. But Sue, I'm going to ask for some participation here. Maybe the audience can weigh in as well. Well, this is Hall & Oates. I like this song a lot, but I'm thinking maybe, think about it here. I'm not here tomorrow, but maybe Thursday, should I work this in as a piece of bumper music? You be the call.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
No, these are government workers and government officials in Washington. They're protesting against Doge. Oh my God. That is like, that's real, by the way. That's not AI generated. This is so
they
much fun.
They don't
really
want him to look at wasteful spending?
No.
Is that the point?
No, they don't. Look, all they want to talk about right now is a constitutional crisis. They're so broken. They're so lost. They cannot keep up with the pace. And the media is right there with the Democrats. They don't know how to handle this either, which brings us to a lot of our audio cut of the day today, because I have a couple of different things, and Elon Musk was in the White House. So let's get right to it here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, let's kind of walk you through some of the things that we addressed earlier on the show. So if you were listening or watching the CNN last night, this is what you heard.
We are 3 weeks into the second Trump presidency. 3 weeks. And tonight, there are warnings that the U.S. is dangerously close to a constitutional crisis.
No, there are not those
not
warnings.
Not even a little.
Not even close. The memo goes out. There's always the constitutional crisis. This has to be, what, the fifth or sixth with Trump, at least.
Oh, yeah.
At least.
Yes.
Like when he was in the White House, constitutional crisis. Then when he was out of the White House, constitutional crisis. There's a new one. You know what a constitutional crisis is? Not having enough money to pay our freaking bills in this country. Not having money to live up to our responsibilities.
Yes.
Right? And by the way, I'm all for looking at areas like defense, but we know that there's a lot of stuff that can be exposed. So before I get to some of the Elon questions that were posed in the White House today, several people have asked me if this is real. And I retweeted the soundbite earlier with the new hashtag or the new handle that Elon had. He did take it down. But for a while, this was actually real, and it was just glorious.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls.
Yeah, he actually did that today. It was actually Harry and then B-O-L-Z was the specifics. Now, he did take it down. He was trolling the team at CNN and the lefties. I think it was pretty successful. Then he's in the Oval Office and he's taking questions today.
Your detractors, Mr. Musk.
I have to what?
Including a lot of Democrats.
I have detractors?
You do, sir.
I don't believe it.
Say that you're orchestrating a hostile takeover of government and doing it in a non-transparent way. What's your response to that criticism?
All right, so his answer there, and by the way, his son was there in the room, one of his kids, X, I guess he's called.
You couldn't ask for a stronger mandate from the public. The public voted, we have a majority of the public voting for President Trump. We won the House, we won the Senate. The people voted for major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for. And a lot of times, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
You know, I think he's right about that. Now, before I get back to a little bit more Doge, Trump, we all call this, a lot of this is common sense. It is common sense. You know who gets it? Joe Rogan gets it because, listen, he breaks it down this way and he's right.
Joe Biden had went in and found corruption that was in the halls of our government and tried to weed it out and said there's corruption in these NGOs, there's corruption in these not-for-profits, there's a lot of corruption and influence, and we're going to weed this out because we want a fair country. The f***ing place would be cheering them.
Oh, they would.
Now,
I haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm a little hopeful that this is taken into a different area, and this is going to be controversial. But we have great hospitals here in the St. Louis area and across the country that are tax exempt. Look, we got media organizations. There's a lot of tax.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, my gosh. They don't pay taxes. Of course not. They just make profits. It's outrageous, and it shouldn't happen. So I'd love for some of this to get down into the depths of that, because you want to talk about paying fair share of taxes. Oh, how about some? Well, of course, they'll pass that on to us.
Yeah.
But let's have a conversation about that. But going back to Elon here and his goals.
Means if you can get $1 trillion of economic growth and you cut the budget deficit by $1 trillion, between now and next year, there is no inflation. There's no inflation at 26. And if the government is not borrowing as much, it means that interest costs decline. So everyone's the mortgage, their car payment, their credit card bills, anything, their student debt, the monthly payments drop. That's a fantastic scenario for the average American. I mean, imagine they're going down the grocery aisle and the prices from 1 year to the next are the same. And their mortgage, all their debt payments dropped. How great is that for the average American?
We had no idea we were going to find this much. And it's open. It's not like complicated. It's
not
simple
that complicated.
Stuff.
It's like, a lot of work.
We can't believe it. A lot of work. A lot of smart people involved. Very, very smart people. But you're talking about anywhere, maybe $500 billion. It's crazy the kind of numbers you're talking
really crazy.
It is crazy, and it's being exposed. So good for him. That was a great event at the White House. And I'm sorry, I just have to hear this one more time.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls.
It just doesn't. Can it get any better? It may be able to get better because it's only 3 weeks in. I will not be here tomorrow. That's kind of an interesting story I shared at the beginning of the show. We'll kind of recap on Thursday. Sue, survive the storm.
Thank you. I'm praying
for your soul. That's why I'm getting on the road to Columbia tonight, because I'm worried.
Do.
All right, we're back on Thursday. Brad Young tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.